Well, tonight's a night when we consider the things for which we're thankful. And as Christians, as I mentioned earlier, we have a lot to be thankful for. But I'm going only to remind you of one thing tonight, and that one thing that we can be thankful for and thank God for is in Romans chapter 6. The words are in your worship guide. You can look on the back page, or you can open your Bible and listen as I read these words from God's Word, Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and have been set free from sin, have become slaves. Having been set free from sin and become slaves of righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would sink your word into our heart tonight. We know these are powerful words. They're from you, O God, to us as human beings. Speak to us. Holy Spirit, shed light on the word. Shed light into our hearts. Help us, we pray, to hear. Give us ears to hear. That we would give great thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You notice in these words, Paul's giving thanks to God, right? That's what the first words of these verses tell us. Paul says to these Christians, but thanks be to God. For what does Paul give thanks for them? What's the amazing thing that they had done, that God had done for them? Well, God had done something to these Christians in Rome that they should greatly thank God for, and Paul himself thanked him for. But I would say it's not even just the Christians in Rome, it's all Christians, because this is what he's going to thank them, what he thanks God for is something that is the very essence of Christianity. He thanks God for what he's done in these Christians and in all of us as Christians, if you're a Christian here tonight. What has God done that Paul causes Paul to say, give thanks to God, and he thanks God? God set them free. Did you notice that? That's what he tells them in his text. God set you free. He uses the image of slavery here to describe what God has done for them. They were in slavery, but God has set them free to another kind of slavery. Look at again what he says. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Notice, having been set free, God had set them free. And he says, thanks be to God that he set you free. So as Christians, we can be thankful to God for setting us free. And Paul reminds them of three things here that I want you to ponder tonight that should make us all thankful people as God's people. First, and this is true of you just as these other Christians in Rome, as I mentioned, first, you were a slave of sin. You are now a slave of righteousness. And God is the one who set you free. So you once were a slave of sin, you are now a slave of righteousness, and God's the one who set you free. Notice, again, Paul says to them, you once were slaves of sin. What does he mean by that? Well, he's, again, using the slavery image in a different way than we often think of it, though. He's using the image in terms of a controlling influence. He means that they were willing slaves of sin. They desired it. They enjoyed it. And you can only see that in a context here, and I'll point that out in a few minutes. But they were willing slaves to this master, which is sin, and they gave themselves to it. They desired sin. They continued to enjoy it and did it without restraint. And if they had any pang of conscience about it, they suppressed it and pushed it away. And they desperately wanted to continue to live in sin. They were slaves of sin in that way that you continued to enjoy it. They were attracted to sin, you could say, like a bee is attracted to flowers, or a magnet. Steel is attracted to a magnet, or a dog is attracted to treats. I mean, think of it. We have a little dog named Winnie. It's a little small Lily's dog. And we took it to the vet a while ago, and the vet said that Winnie, he's concerned that she's overweight, 14 pounds. So she had to lose a pound, vet told us. And so we need to cut back on treats and food and give her walks. But that's hard to do. You know why? Because she has no desire to stop eating treats or food. I mean, she's compelled. She would make herself sick if you just kept giving her treats. She would eat them and eat them and eat them until she was sick. She continues to eat because she's not concerned about losing weight. She's willing to be a slave to food, and she is a slave to treats. She's a slave because she's compelled to eat them. Anytime you want to give her a treat, she'll take a treat. That's the kind of slavery that Paul's talking about here. It's a compulsive thing. It's something that you just do. And that's what we're like by nature, the Bible tells us, when it comes to sin. We're slaves of sin in this way that it's a compulsive thing. We go to it like steel to a magnet, like a dog to treats. We want to do it. We enjoy it. We continue to do it. Matter of fact, if somebody gets in our way of it, we push them out of the way or suppress the truth. And notice Paul says, that's what you were. You were a slave of sin. You had a desire for it and no real desire to stop. And we have to think, when he says sin here, he's not just talking about the sins we think, all the bad people out there, you know, those bad sins that people commit of murder and terrible, heinous crimes that people commit. No, any sin, self-seeking, envy, greed, anger, gluttony, laziness, pride, any sin compels us, and we all have different sin patterns, right? But you know, as well as I do, there's something compulsive about it. It pulls you. You go to it, just like, again, steel to a magnet. And Paul's telling him it's a terrible place to be. Because if you're in that mode that you're compelled, a slave of sin, it's a compulsion, you're drawn to it, it's deadly. It's a dangerous thing because it leads to death. It's going down a path that's terrible and destructive. And in the rest of this letter to Romans, Paul points that out to them. So he says, but that's what you were. But notice Paul says something else to these Christians. He says, now you're something else in verse 18. And having been set free from sin, have become now slaves of righteousness. So you've got a different compulsion now, a different desire. And notice it's a compulsion because notice what he says to them at verse 17. Thanks be to God, you were once a slave to sin, but now you have become what? Obedient from the heart. You know, the heart in the Bible is you, the deepest you, what drives you. You say your will, it's that deepest you and what you want. And so he says, now, as a Christian, here's what happened. You become obedient from the heart. So you now have this new compulsion. It used to be a compulsion only for sin. But now you're obedient from the heart, which means your desires have changed. You want new things. You desire new things. You're compelled to do new things. You could say, in the best sense of the words, you've had a change of heart. And what does that heart desire? Well, he tells us, doesn't he? Notice again what he says. You have become obedient from the heart to what? The standard of teaching to which you were committed. In other words, what was the standard of teaching to which they were committed? It was the teaching of the good news of Jesus Christ that Paul had taught them. He gave them the good news of the gospel and the word. And that good news attracted them by the work of the Spirit to Jesus Christ. And now they love him and they desire him and they desire to obey him from the heart. They have a new desire. There's a new compulsion working in them. And that new compulsion is to love Jesus and want to obey him from the heart. So they're attracted now to Jesus Christ. And they become something new. And that's what Paul means at the end of the verse when he says, you've become slaves now of righteousness. In other words, there's a new thing compelling you, a new thing that attracts you, and it's Jesus Christ himself. You love him. You want to obey him. You want to walk with him and follow him. You're attracted to different things. You know, as I get older in life, I've noticed something about myself that maybe some of you have noticed as you get older in life, and that is that your tastes change. I remember when I was a kid, I hated mushrooms. I didn't like them at all. They were distasteful. I avoided them. Now, 55, I love mushrooms. I actually order them on my pizza. And actually, if Kelly makes a meal with mushrooms, I kind of try to pile extra on from the dish because I like the mushrooms. Why is that? I don't know. My tastes have changed. There's something in me that's changed. And that's what Paul's talking about here. It's just like that. There's a new compelling desire in you for something you didn't have before. And that compulsion affects your whole life, that you are now desiring new things. And the new thing you desire as a Christian is Jesus, loving him, and you want to obey him. And when you have that new compulsion, there are things that mark it. You can see certain marks of that in your life. And one sure mark that you have this new compulsion desire is when you see that sin discourages you and causes turmoil in your heart. One true mark of a new compulsion that you are changed, a new creature who loves Jesus and wants to follow him, is that sin causes discouragement and turmoil in your heart. Sometimes it may even drive you to despair. Whenever you indulge in a sin, you afterwards hate it, don't like it, and vow that you're not going to do that, and you're fighting against it. It causes an upheaval in your heart. Because in your heart, there's a desire to follow Jesus. You don't want to disobey. But you find yourself disobeying. It's the heart, the flesh, and the spirit working against each other. You've got this new compulsion in you that's driving you to say, I want to obey. I don't want to walk the other way. I don't want to disobey him. So think about that. Why are you thrown into turmoil and difficulty and despair over sin? It's a good sign. It's because you've got this, you've been set free. You've got this new desire, a new compulsion. You want to go the opposite way. You don't want to indulge your sin, but you want to love and obey and please your master, the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's a good sign to know if you're not a Christian, is if you don't have that compulsion, if you don't get upset about sin at all, don't really feel upheaval or turmoil in your life about it, it's a good sign you're not a Christian. When you have that compulsion, it causes upheaval because you struggle against sin. So Paul says to these believers, thanks be to God. Do you realize what he's done? You were a slave of sin. Now you are a slave of righteousness. You've been set free from that compelling affection. Yes, you still sin, but you've got a deeper you desiring not to sin. And so there's a war. Another thing to notice that he tells them is that he makes it clear God is the one who set you free. Notice, think again about these words in verse 17 at the beginning. Thanks be to who? To God. He set you free. God set you free. God's the one we thank. And it's important to notice how this image of slavery is used in these verses. Notice it's not a picture that you were in slavery and you wanted to escape. It's not a slave who ran away to get freedom. No, that's not the image Paul's using here of slavery. It's a picture of willing slavery that you were in, and you were set free by someone else, God himself. You didn't get away at all. The Lord God himself saved you and set you free. Clearly, that's a context, because if you look one verse earlier, here's what Paul says. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are a slave to the one whom you obey, either to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness? Notice, if you present yourself as obedient slaves to obey this, you're going to follow it and obey it and be compelled by it. And that's what they were doing, right? That's what the sinful nature does. That's what human beings are by nature. We are by nature those who give ourselves to sin and have a compulsion toward it, just like that steel to the magnet and pulled to it. So Paul's saying this slavery, it's a willing slavery. You're not into slavery initially as a human being wanting to get out, but instead, God sets you free. The master is the one who gives you life. Because the truth is, the way that sin grips us, and we can all feel that as Christians, can't we? We know it. When sin gets its grip on us, it doesn't want to let us go. The devil, when he gets us in his grip, will not let us go. Sin, when it gets us in its grip, left to ourselves, will not let us go. It has to be broken by one stronger than us. The grip has to be torn open, and God is the one who did that. That's what Paul's telling them here. Thanks be to God. Do you realize he set you free? You were in the tight grip of sin and the devil, but God set you free. God loved you so much that he came and broke that grip of sin so you're no longer the slave of sin, but slave of righteousness. He broke that terrible grip that the devil had on you because he loved you and brought you into his kingdom. Do you know that God loves you that much? Something to ponder at Thanksgiving. Do you realize the amazing love of God and what he's done in setting you free? He set out with the intention of setting you free so you could belong to him, to break the grip of the devil and sin and set you free and in a new direction. He loved you enough to give his very own son for that. He's not destined you for wrath, but for salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Those destined for wrath are those that are in slavery to sin and continue down that path with no Savior. But God hasn't given you over to that. He's rescued you, broken this grip of sin, and Jesus Christ did it at the cross. And he gave you new life, a life that desires righteousness at his resurrection. So tonight, you may have a lot of afflictions, as I said. May not be easy to thank God, but one great reason to thank God is this. You're really in a new state, in a new condition. You're now a slave of righteousness because God has loved you enough to break the grip of sin and bring you into his family and camp. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this grace that you've given us. It's amazing grace. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would saturate our hearts with it tonight, tomorrow, and the coming days. That we would truly be gripped by your grace in a new way. Please help us, we pray. That we would be truly a thankful people, knowing that you've set us free. We never could have set ourselves free or broken the grip or even desired to, but you were kind. We thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.